Hello, welcome to the Middle East Today. Coming to you live from Press TV's international headquarters in Tehran, Iran, I'm Marzia Hashimi. The world has a short attention span. According to one leading Zionist in Washington, when asked the reason, very little attention is given to the unfolding Gaza tragedy. Whether it's really from having a short attention span or because the mainstream media refuses to cover the human disaster taking place in the Gaza Strip, the reality is that most of the world is ignorant of the status quo in Gaza and the severity of the situation. The truth of the matter is that 1.5 million people still are not being allowed adequate supplies, food, and medicine into Gaza. Journalists are still denied entry into the area, and the silence of the world continues to be the response to these deteriorating conditions. With this ongoing scenario, the European Union has decided to expand ties with Israel. The 27 EU member states have just announced that ties with Israel will be upgraded. The reason given was that both entities share values of respect for human rights, international humanitarian law, and good governance. From London, we're joined today by the Vice Chairman of the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign in the UK, Kamal Hawash. And in Washington, Middle East expert David Pollack. And by phone from Sonoma, California, freelance journalist Dr. Alan Rowland. Welcome, all of you. Mr. Hawash, I'd like to start off with you. The European Union unanimously approved upgrading relations with Israel on Monday. The decision comes as 1.5 million people in Gaza are facing harsh conditions. Your comment as far as the timing of this decision?
Oh, it's completely inexplicable. Nobody can understand this. In fact, on Friday, you may recall that the European Parliament voted to postpone a decision on the vote on this, and then the Council of Ministers decides that it's appropriate to upgrade Israel's relations, a country which has been abusing Palestinian rights ever since its creation, a country that has laid siege to 1.5 million people, denying them food, denying them water, denying them the basic constituents of human life, reducing them to a people dependent on aid. And even then, UNRWA, the United Nations agency responsible for the refugees, has been unable to get this aid that they need to them. Completely inexcusable, and the European Union has lost its head.
So you cannot think of any concrete reason why the timing of this, why would they do this now, in your perspective?
Well, I understand that you know, this has been on the cards for some time. Clearly, they think that Israel is a partner. Israel's been lobbying hard, both here and in NATO and so on. It thinks it's a member of the international community, which is fighting the war on terror and what have you, but it's exercising its own terror. There's absolutely no excuse for upgrading Israel's relations. In fact, what should happen is that the existing trade agreement with Israel should be suspended, because in the second clause it sets out very clearly that this relationship is based on respect for human rights. Anybody who knows anything about the Palestinian areas, and particularly Gaza, will know that Israel is a habitual and serial abuser of human rights.
Okay, Mr. Pollack, referring to the original EU trade agreement with Israel, it had given Israel extensive tariff benefits. Actually, Israeli-made products are not taxed, allowing 100% profit in Europe. Why, in your perspective, is Europe giving these concessions and benefits?
I think the main issue here is that the suffering of the Palestinians in Gaza is entirely the fault of Hamas, the movement that controls Gaza and that rockets Israel.
Can you first address the question that I asked?
Can I finish my thought, please?
If you could address the question I asked, I would appreciate it.
I am answering the question, and I hope you do appreciate it. Because the suffering of the Palestinians in Gaza is entirely the fault of Hamas, which rockets Israel and injures and kills innocent civilians there day in and day out,
How many people has it killed in the last year,
the European
please?
Union
Can you
has
tell
chosen
me how many Israel has killed in the
Israel's right to self-defense. If Hamas and its affiliates stopped rocketing Israel, of course the borders would be open. That has always been the situation in the past. So any suffering of any Palestinians in Gaza can be blamed only on Hamas.
You have a very one-sided view of the world, which is completely wrong, actually, because you blame Hamas or you blame the Palestinians. If Israel wanted to go after the people who fire the rockets, it has the sophisticated weapons to do that, but it chooses to apply collective punishment on 1.5 million people. We don't have every Palestinian in Gaza firing rockets, and therefore Israel is just simply guilty of imposing this illegal siege, this abominable siege, which should end now.
And Mr. Pollack, my question was...
Sadly, that's
Pollack,
nonsense.
My question
and
was,
I think
why are
deep down, you probably
Mr. Pollack,
know it.
My question was basically,
all Hamas has to do is
to
prevent the firing of rockets into Israeli
Mr.
villages.
Pollack, can you answer my question, please?
And then the Palestinians in Gaza would immediately stop suffering.
Can you answer my question?
I'm very sorry.
You might as well have a go at answering the question.
The ceasefire.
Mr. Pollack, my question is, why do the Europeans allow Israeli products into the EU without being taxed? 100% profit for the Israelis. Why is that?
Why shouldn't they? I don't understand
the question
at all.
Are any other countries allowed
Israel
that?
Israel is a peace-loving, democratic
are there
any state,
other countries in the world
unlike
allowed
Hamas
that privilege,
in
Mr.
Gaza.
Pollack?
And that is why the EU chooses, as you said, to exercise its every right to enjoy peaceful, normal trade relations with Israel, just like with any
Israel
other
is far from being
okay,
a peaceful nation.
Let me turn to Sonoma. Dr. Rowland, your perspective on this, please. Your comments.
Yes. My perspective is this. The handwriting is on the wall for Israel. The Bush doctrine of preemptive war and illegal occupation is soon going to be history. And Obama's first mandate for change will be the resolution of the Palestinian issue. Why? Because that one issue is the fodder for the fire of anti-American feeling that permeates the Middle East and accounts for the deep mistrust of our intentions and policies in the region. I think it's very, very interesting. Right now, Gaza is like a modern-day attack on human rights, and some would go as far as labeling it as ethnic cleansing. That's worldwide view right there. Jordan is already coming out, strongly speaking out against aggression against Palestinian civilians by the illegal Zionist settlers in the West Bank city of Khalil. The Jordanian government strongly denounces the acts of aggression carried out by settlers on Palestinian civilians and believes that such attacks have dangerous repercussions on the peace process. That was by their foreign minister. Make no mistake about it. This is going to be a change in policy. You've got two people being interviewed in Washington, senior icons of foreign policy, Brent Scowcroft, Zbigniew Brzezinski all along has been saying, it's the Palestinian issue that must be solved, offering their advice to the president-elect in a high-profile column in the Washington Post, strongly advising the Arab-Israeli peace process is one issue that requires priority attention. Then we have the Israeli president, Shimon Peres, the United Nations, saying that we call for a new era of peace negotiations predicated on the Arab Peace Initiative. So look, Obama's going to be giving a speech in the first 100 days in the Middle East. We don't know where it's going to be, but it looks like it's going to be in either Cairo or Morocco. And my best guess, he'll take the lead of the two foreign policy elders who advised him, Scowcroft and Brzezinski. And it's outlined also in their op-ed piece in the Washington Post called Middle East Priorities for January 21st. This is going to be big time. Within the first 100 days. That's what they're saying is they're warning that a loss of hope in the region could lead to increased violence, and they say that resolution of the Palestinian issue is a way to remove a deep sense of injustice that is genuine and pervasive in the area. Resolving that issue, they argue, would liberate Arab governments to support U.S. leadership in dealing with regional problems as they did before the Iraq invasion. It would dissipate much of the appeal of Hezbollah and Hamas, dependent as it is on the Palestinians' flight. It would also change the region's psychological climate, which is I'm really interested in, putting Iran or Iran back on the defensive and putting a stop to their international swagger. So I think there's going to be a change here, and I think it's going to be a very dramatic change, and I think Obama will announce that change in the Middle East.
Okay, Mr. Hawash, UN Special Investigator for Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories, Richard Falk, has said that Israel and its leaders should be investigated by the International Court over the humanitarian situation that's taking place in the Gaza Strip. Do you think that this is a possibility that this will take place?
Well, I think there's no doubt that Israel is a huge abuser of human rights, including the current siege on Gaza. And if Europe says that it collectively, as a group of states, is for human rights, therefore it has to act. We should, for example, take the Israeli war criminals who run the Israeli government and who run the Israeli army to court for crimes against humanity. Shimon Peres himself was responsible for the Kana massacre that occurred in Lebanon, and he should be tried for war crimes. Of course, Yitzhak Shamir was a terrorist who the UK wanted to capture and imprison. I think we should be applying the law, international law, consistently. Israel is not above the law, or is it? Maybe our colleague in Washington thinks that Israel is above the law. And I wonder if he thinks that it would be okay to imprison 1.5 million Jews and subject them to what the Gazans are being subjected to at the moment. I wouldn't wish it on them, and I want what is happening to the Gazans to stop now, because they are not a lesser people than the Israelis.
Okay, Mr. Pollack, Richard Falk has also said that the International Court should determine whether the Israeli civilian leaders and military commanders responsible for the Gaza siege should be indicted and prosecuted for violations of international criminal law. Do you think that that's a possibility? And your perspective on that, please.
No, I think it's an impossibility, and rightly so. I think Richard Falk is well known for extreme and irresponsible views on this issue. And unfortunately, this is just another example of that. I find it very sad that instead of talking about a peaceful solution to these issues, as your caller in Los Angeles did, that Mr. Hawash in London, far away from the scene, is talking about war crimes trials and referring back to ancient historic events instead of looking forward and trying to find a peaceful solution. I find it very sad that Hamas and that Iran stand in the way of a peaceful solution of this problem that would benefit both Israelis and Palestinians. And if Mr. Hawash is concerned about the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza, all that has to be done is to stop the rocket fire from Gaza. That's all.
I'm afraid the rocket
I wonder
the rocket
if you
stopped.
Would agree.
Okay, Mr. Hawash, go ahead.
There was an agreed hudna between Israel and Hamas, and Israel continued to close the access points into Gaza, continued to count
That's
the number
true,
of lives
actually.
It would allow
That's
in.
That's a lie. And
it absolutely is.
That's
you
actually
might as well
a lie.
Go back and look actually at the
news.
Is well,
that
was
when the
basis
rocket fire
of
stops,
the truce.
The border
that was the basis of
open.
The truce. That's not true. Students, people with medical conditions were not allowed out to get treatment and to go to their universities. And again, I don't think you would accept this for Israelis, but it's one standard for Israelis, one for the Palestinians. And that's what we must
no,
get away
actually,
from.
No, actually, it's the same it standard
in terms
for everybody,
of war crimes.
Sir.
Let's get back to
if
peace.
Only
you talk
Hamas
about
would
looking forward. I'm happy to look
it.
Forward.
Then the situation in
of
Gaza
Israel,
would improve.
No. What supporters of Israel want when they say, let us look forward, it means forget the fact that Israel was created on Palestinian land, forget the fact that a million Palestinians were driven out and
Actually,
are refugees
it means
to this
that
day.
Israel would
forget
like to have
facts.
Peace in
it
the
means
region.
You must
and
accept,
you, on
no,
the other
if,
hand,
if,
would prefer
if
to have
peace,
endless war and suffering.
Okay, Mr.
Pollock. I'm really deeply sad.
I can't let him get away with that.
Sorry,
I won't let him get away with this. Hold on a minute, please.
Go ahead,
I won't let him get away with this. I want peace more than anyone else, okay? The
well,
problem
then let's hear
you talk
about
it.
Mr. Pollock,
let's hear you talk about it.
Let me throw in the peace. Let me throw in
if Israel,
the basic
if Israel wanted peace, why is it that Israel has continued to build settlements since Annapolis started? Why is it that it has killed over 500 Palestinians since Annapolis? That is not a country that wants peace. What it wants is for the Palestinians to accept facts on the ground, and the Palestinians will not. I would be delighted when Israelis come to a historic realization that what happened in 1948 was wrong, and when that happens, and that they must apologize to the Palestinian people for the dispossession that they suffered. That has to be the start of peace, not acceptance of facts on the ground that Israel does illegally day after
Nobody
day.
Nobody is accepting,
Mr. Pollock, go ahead,
sir,
please.
Any facts on the ground. In fact, it's the Israeli government itself that has recently removed by force Jewish settlers from parts of the occupied territory. And that withdrew, as you know, completely from Gaza in 2005. That's 3 years ago. And what has been the Palestinian response by Hamas? And what has been the response of Iran?
Okay, let me get
to
Dr. Rowland in here, please.
That as a move toward peace?
Yes.
Or to keep fighting and killing innocent Israelis every day?
Let's talk about the big picture here.
You don't talk about innocent Palestinians being killed.
Let's
talk about the big
picture.
The big picture here is we need to resolve the Palestinian situation. I think Obama is going to be a very fair broker in that area. And I think that Scowcroft and Brzezinski outlined the four basic elements of a peace plan. The first and most important would be, and this is going to be tough love for Israel, would be 1967 borders with minor reciprocal and agreed upon modifications. The other three elements would be compensation in lieu of the right of return for Palestinian refugees, Jerusalem is a real home to both capitals, and a non-militarized Palestinian state. Scowcroft and Brzezinski also suggested deploying NATO troops to serve as peacekeepers and to train the non-militarized Palestinian troops. You can quibble with these points, as will the Israelis and Palestinians, but what a wonderful step that would be for the new president of the United States to put himself solidly behind a serious effort for peace and be, finally, which we haven't had for the last 8 years, an honest broker in the region.
And do you think,
so
Dr.
think
Dr. Rowland,
we've got
that that's
here.
Likely to happen?
What's that?
Do you
Sadly,
think that that's likely
Iran
to happen
and
with
Hamas
president, under President-elect
both
Obama's?
Oppose these peaceful
I
steps.
I think that Obama plans to do that within the first 100 days. And basically, the fact that Brzezinski and Scowcroft, who are two key advisors, are already touting this, is saying that this is very likely to happen. He knows that the whole Middle East situation can only happen with the resolution of the Palestinian situation. It's not going to make everybody happy, but it's going to be a step towards basically dampening the fires in the Middle East.
Okay, Mr. Pollock,
and
I'd like
you've
to
got
get your...
to think of the big picture here.
Okay, Mr. Pollock, I'd like to get your comments on, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon has said the blockade on Gaza is depriving Palestinians of basic human rights, and another UN official, Karen Abu Zaid, says the Gaza residents are not just under occupation, but they are under siege. They are completely closed off. And UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, has condemned the blockade of Gaza as a direct contravention of international human rights. I'd like your perspective on this as far as the international outcry from the UN officials. Can you comment on that?
Yes, it is true that there is a lot of suffering in Gaza, and that's very tragic. The UN statements, of course, look only at one side. I would ask you and your viewers and UN spokesmen and officials to look at the fact that actually it's Egypt that controls access to Gaza through the Rafah crossing. And so Egypt is part of the siege on Gaza, I suppose. And I would like them to look at the fact that Israel has opened the borders every time that Hamas observes the ceasefire, rather than continuing to fire indiscriminately at Israeli civilians on the other side of the border.
Mr. Hawash.
That, Hamas, is what is responsible for the siege.
Mr. Hawash, your comments, please.
Well, again, I mean, our colleague in Washington seems to put no responsibility on Israel at all. It is Israel that is deciding how many grams of flour are allowed into Gaza per person. You know, you have these people in the Ministry of Defense in Israel who think of these Palestinian human beings as a lesser people, and they think in terms of what should they allow in just to sustain them. Israel is still the occupying force in Gaza. It is actually responsible
Not true,
for
sir.
The well-being
Israel
and welfare.
Withdrew it is completely
indeed.
From
it
Gaza.
Is, no, no, it is legally the occupying power. Otherwise, boats, for
Not
example,
so.
Like the boat that Libya sent, excuse me, like the ship that Libya sent the other day, if Gaza wasn't occupied, that ship would have docked at Gaza port. If the Palestinians were not occupied in Gaza, then you'd have airplanes flying out of Gaza airport. So Israel still controls every aspect of the Palestinian life in Gaza. Now, if you can't
That's nonsense.
That,
what about Egyptian
nonsense.
Control
these
over the border at Rafah?
But will you accept
I haven't
that Israel
heard a word
is controlling
from you about
the
that,
Palestinians?
Sir.
No, you haven't accepted any responsibility on Israel whatsoever since the
no,
start of this show.
No, absolutely
okay,
not true.
Dr.
It's
Roland,
you.
Dr.
I
Roland,
accept
30
responsibility.
Seconds for your comments. Dr.
I
Roland,
accept
please.
That Israel has responsibility.
Yes. Go ahead,
I'd like to hear you accept some.
Look, the Middle East cannot accept our United States' uncritical support of Israel's 60-year theft of Palestinian lands. Israel's destruction of over 18,000 Palestinian homes and over a million fruit and olive trees in illegally occupied Palestine. When we add Israel's brutal oppression and vastly unjust violence against Palestinians using American weaponry and our 41 UN vetoes blocking sanctions against Israel for the multiple relentless violations of
okay.
international law,
thank
you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. I'd like to thank all my guests. We are out of time, and I thank you, viewers, for joining us, and hope to see you right back here next time on the next edition of Middle East Today. Thank you, and goodbye. We'll be right back.